Welcome, listeners, to this next episode of Entrepreneurial Impact with Joe Martin and Dave Donaldson. We've got the esteemed pleasure of having a friend, colleague, and just an innovator in the industry of real estate, Rick Cunningham. I've really gotten to know Rick over the past couple years within our brokerage operations, networking, and for community. And what I love about Rick, you know, with his entrepreneurial spirit and focus on innovation, there's very few people that are able to go out on an island and say, I'm going to go build to the future, even though there's probably not a stable landing yet. So I look at entrepreneurialism and say, you're kind of flying the plane and building at the same time. And with Rick's, it's like his experience with over 20 locations, over 2,000 agents covering California and Hawaii. I'm really excited to have you on, Rick, just because like you're totally outside the box thinking. And I think in our industry, that level of creativity and say, we're going to build to the future, even though the stabilization of that's not here yet, but being able to also say, what is the tech support? And also just getting creative on how the consumer integrates into the real estate transaction to make more impact in the power of home. So I really appreciate you being on, Rick. And I'd love, you know, if you just kick off with just giving a little bit more about your journey and your career, and then kind of we'll dive into that innovation and technology and how you see real estate evolving over the next couple of years here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on this morning, Dave and Joe. I consider myself really to be kind of a thought thinker as far as like looking. I'm always trying to build where it's almost like where's the puck going to be versus where is it now? And some people call me crazy or always coming up with different ideas, but the reality is like, that's where magic happens, and I have to be okay with failure. And failure has never been a problem for me. Innovation's been a problem. Status quo is always the problem for me, because that's where people get stuck. And sometimes the bigger we get and the more I have, the less risk I want to take, right? So whether you're getting older or more established, but the reality is that's potentially the downside problem. So I believe in innovation, but I believe in innovation through strategy, looking outside of our industry and then bringing back ideas from outside of our industry and adapting it to our application in a way that could actually be monetized in a systematic way. If you look at my businesses, it's not just coming up with an idea in our space. It's honestly coming up with a new idea that will pay itself in three or four different businesses. So instead of benefiting one other business, it's benefiting multiple businesses. And so when I try to look at the interconnectivity of businesses, that's where the innovation really occurs. And you just have to hit a couple home runs along the journey while you're hitting some base hits, is the way I look at it.
Rick, what attracted you to real estate? Because you obviously, when we think about tech, and I've been in real estate for a long time as well, but I can recognize when I got in 2007, tech really was not at the forefront. There were websites. We were very, you know, we were doing rapid fax stuff, right? We were very, very early stages of digital contracts. Like, real estate was real estate for a really long time, almost like the bedrock of technology when I think back to where we were to where we are now. What would somebody like you be attracted to, and you call yourself a purposeful entrepreneur, to real estate and recognizing opportunity in that arena?
I never consider myself, and even to this day, not really a tech guy. What I did was align myself with the right tech partners. And I failed a number of times. I put a lot of money behind innovation, but the technology for me, all it is digitizing system optimization. If you look at the tech that we're building, it's not all it is taking what I was already doing in a systematic way, but doing it through manual processes and then relying on people to execute. That's where the problem lies. All I'm doing with tech is taking what was already a process that we would do. So let me explain something. So like as we do a transaction, there's times that are highly efficient to put products, services, or opportunities in front of people. And all we did was take what I was already doing for a decade and putting it into coding it in a way that would then make notifications and make the system easier and make it so it's got a more predictable outcome and a measurable result as on the other side, which means I can get immediate immediate impact on understanding where the business is at any moment and where we're doing good and where we can get better. And that's what I use tech for. So I don't look as tech as completely off on the side. I'm looking at taking my core businesses and just making them more effective, more predictable.
Yeah, I'm in alignment with that thought process, right? To me, technology is not a replacement for the person or for what we do. It's an accelerant to the leverage that gives us our time back to do things more efficiently, right?
Yeah,
I agree with the systemization of real estate, right?
And accountability, because it allows me to see when people are not doing what I'm expecting, then I can quickly see that in short order. I don't have to wait to figure it out later on. I can see it in real time. And again, when you look at my background, my undergraduate might not seem like it applies. It applies in real estate because landscape architecture. But the reality is I was in grad school in an MBA program, and the one thing I really took away from the MBA program was looking at the world in a different way and trying to understand where can you define your own space. And if I have to correlate it to maybe a book, it would be something like a blue ocean strategy, right? Like stop competing in an area that's highly concentrated with lots. We're in an industry that's actually going down, and so I look at where can we be in a new space. And I look at businesses like you look at Napster and what Napster did to the music industry. It came in and it disrupted. It started doing free downloads and people were doing that. And Apple was smart and came in and really identified. They understood what the problem was, but they understood how to change it. And then they had the iPod and they used that, but what it really was how do we make music stream download 99 cents per song? I don't want to get a whole album. I want to get one song. So they listened to what the consumer wanted and they literally created a new space, and that accelerated a whole new area and changed an industry overnight.
So Rick, I heard you say two things there. One is real estate doesn't have a really high defensible moat, is what I'm hearing you say, right? And then number two is how do you move towards the consumer? Those are two things that I think are hugely important as we look at the entrepreneurial efforts of a lot of broker owners, because they're saying, hey, I've got this, you got 2,000 agents with 20 locations. You got a lot of hey, I've got something that's producing cash and I need to protect that. And sometimes people's energy doesn't go towards what's the next business model that needs to happen to evolve so you stay relevant, and they just sit in protection mode and they're not realizing that their moat around that existing business isn't very defensible. And then number two, the current model of that is not focused on the consumer. It's focused on supporting an agent or supporting broker controls, which inevitably are not in favor of what the consumer demands based on optionality and decision-making.
Yeah. And again, I have multiple mortgage companies. I have three escrow companies. Lots of different businesses that are literally downstream of the real estate. So we get paid multiple times.
Rick, would you mind going through just quick on your org chart of it's not only brokerage, but everything around the transaction. Could you give everybody what is Rick Cunningham's empire?
Yeah, so it is, if you look at what I consider relatively top of funnel, it's the brokerage business. And we want the brokerage business to be profitable on its own accord. But then as you go downstream, you're looking at, in a transaction, we're being paid, hopefully they're using our mortgage company, one of our mortgage companies. We have escrow companies. We have a title company. We have disclosure company in California. We have, everybody that uses our transaction coordination or our, there's a lot of other pieces too, that we get home warranty, our prep before you list, company, all those different businesses are part of it. But then it's also about, we have insurance in 18 states. We have, we have a solar business. We're implementing our trust company. So when a homeowner goes under contract, we can notify them immediately that, hey, you're taking it as individuals if you close it, if you click this button, you can close it in a family trust and then get 6 months to upgrade your trust. So we can even finance, our whole goal is to even finance their solar into the transaction. If they notify us up front, we can bake it into their purchase agreement depending on their down payment. So it's just literally like taking every piece of it and putting it into the pie, is what makes sense.
No, it does. And thank you for going through that for like our listeners, because you know, you've got broker owners that have historically been like, you know, top of funnel. This is what I know. I love, I went from sales to brokerage, and now you diversified and you started off the podcast with saying, hey, I really am a strategist. So in your view of the future with innovation, you built all of those surrounding businesses in alignment with what strategy? Like, there's obviously a vision for you and your empire of like, why is those other things so important for the future of this industry?
Partly because the real estate transaction is a point in time that is almost trillions of dollars of economic impact that we're not taking advantage of. And we are almost the conductor of the transaction. And yet we are only focused, our agents are only focused on one slice of the pie. I'm looking at the full impact and where can I monetize as many different areas within that transaction, either pre, during, or post transaction, to get a penny, a nickel, a dollar. It doesn't matter. It's all the different pieces. So during the transaction with the agents, we're focused on, let us do your marketing for you. Let us do this for you. Here's our technology tools that you should use to better your business. For the consumer now, that's where the biggest impact, because that's where most of the money is being decided on. The agent at the end of the day has really high influence with the consumer, but it's using our technology and yet our agent influence to actually impact the consumer decision making at that time. And I believe in changing the models up, because it when technology comes into different spaces, there's nothing that stops real estate from being any different than what happened in the travel industry, a bit of the title industry. It just took the margins out and really reduced things. Technology is impacting, people can say in a negative way. The reality is, I believe it's just an evolution. You just have to be, you have to be okay with the fact that change is inevitable and you've got to pivot. So real estate right now is, you know, is really changing. It's moving where it's really consumer focused and less about agents. And the problem is when the brokerage business started letting the agent have too much control, it's really hurt the margin of the brokerage business. And a brokerage business is going to go through, again, take the travel industry as an example. Doesn't mean the travel agent is out of business. It just has really reduced the number and the quality. So you almost have to have a niche kind of market in order to be not only sustainable, but be able to do that at a higher level. So I believe you're going to see that in the brokerage space.
What do you, when you talk about the innovation and then kind of redefining what brokerage does in like the scope of delivery channels, like if you think about channel distribution, you're talking about innovation. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, I got to protect this thing. The innovation that you're talking about, how, if you, based on that vision, how does your business strategy of those different business verticals around the transaction, how does that change the position of the broker to the agent? And then more importantly, the broker to the consumer? Like, how do you see those changes, like your support and value to the agent? And then what is your support and value to the consumer?
Well, number one, I think I'm looking at it differently than some of the big corporations. I'm looking wherever possible to make my agents potentially a part of it. So like my mortgage company, I've got over 80 agents that are principal investor partners in it to drive that so they can see the economic benefit of it in doing it in a legal RESPA compliant way, right? So I believe in bringing my agents and partners along through that process, because I believe in we versus me, and I believe in doing it in a way that, like, figure out how we can do it. Again, do it legally, do it correct, make sure there's disclosure all the way through. And then when we get to the consumer, same thing applies is, you know, the agents have vendor relationships. Well, we will have a vendor VIP services platform where the agents will get a piece of it. But here's the thing. When new agents come into the industry, we're going to have the brokerage literally upload and create an entire vendor relations based on the market center's vendor relations until such time that those agents replace the brokerage vendors with their own vendors. In the meantime, the brokerage gets the piece of the pie during that whole time until their referrals are replaced by potentially alternative referrals. And that allows both the market center and the agents to be able to monetize their impact in giving three potential referrals for tradespeople. And then we help in a vetting process. So imagine you take an Angie's List with the idea of like Uber, where you're getting a rating system on it and you're getting who referred it and what was their, you know, and then there's a rating system. And again, you're giving multiple opportunities, but you're doing it in such a way where we're taking data and information such as like their inspection reports, and the consumer is gonna not be aware of it, but we will have an application soon to the market where we will be able to notify the consumer like, hey, it's a hurricane's coming. Do you want to order plywood to board up your windows? And that can only be a click of a button based on a weather feature that notifies them of certain things coming and potentially an ability to cover windows, or your hot water heater expires. Would you like to replace it on the exact same one like you did on your inspection report? We know what model it is. Or would you like to upgrade to a tankless hot water heater? So we have not only replacement, but upgrade opportunities through our marketplace functionality.
So I got one final question on this like line of consumer agent experiences. What I'm hearing you say for everybody listening, to kind of give a different metaphor, is like, if I go to Home Depot and I go to buy a hammer, I don't really care about the handle, the weight, maybe it needs to be 16 or whatever ounces it is, but I'm not buying a hammer for a hammer. I'm buying a hammer because I need to put a nail in the wall or I need to rip out drywall. So I'm buying the hammer for the experience, the outcome I'm looking for. So everything that you just went through, I look at as like a tool or a structure to create an experience for the agent that they're looking for, as well as an experience for the consumer. So in that line, for all the things you're building and strategy wise to create an experience, what do you believe is the future experience for the consumer when they go through homeowners?
I believe what we're building is almost not even for the consumer. It's actually for the home itself. What we're building is not even for the homeowner. What we're building will stay with the house and actually survive through multiple homeowners. Consider it like an ongoing Carfax in perpetuity, where if they put everything through, not only will they get, you know, a spit out at the beginning of every year, as far as, you know, here's everything you bought and this is how we categorized it. Send this to your CPA. So you can take your tax deductions for home improvements. But really what it's doing is we see the future over time as being able to put a Procasa house. And you can look up the rating of that house on their maintenance. So a Procasa covered house, we believe, will benefit our insurance company. So we're modeling the whole insurance company whereby if you follow at least 95% of our recommended maintenance standards and you do improvements and it's all documented through our application, then we believe that you can get almost, think again, this is where you can see where I pull from different industries, where you can almost get like an Allstate good driver discount. Well, you get a discount on your insurance because you've maintained the house based on recommended reasons. Like, we know that your hot water heater is not going to explode because it's not 20 years old on a 10-year hot water heater that then destroys your hardwood floors, right? Like, those are real situations. So again, it's coverage of the house. It's using monitors and things like that. So we can everything from a smart home feature that flows through our application, It's all in there. And then you can, again, you can order right through our system. And so we believe you can not only use our system, but you can upload to make sure that that's the one place where all of your documents are held in a repository that keeps your house. And then when it comes to the sale of your house, there's all your disclosures. It can auto-populate custom state forms based on AI integrations and the ability to read forms potentially. We're still trying to figure that out state by state about what that would look like when it comes to disclosure. And it would be, if nothing else, please, you know, see addendum such and such, that would be the full uploaded thing. And we would obviously take out personal data and information, but from a disclosure standpoint, we believe it will actually change, especially in a very litigious state like California, the potential disclosure issues.
You know, this is where my mind goes for a lot of these things. I literally was talking to a title company yesterday about forward thinking about how do we look at the potential of blockchain and security and storing such data like that, how everything becomes tied together. Right? People think blockchain and necessarily think currency. I think it more as the security data exchange around the power of home, right? In alignment with what you're talking about. And when I look at technology, right, and I look at the real estate agent, and I look at an awareness thing, right, there's two separate things in play here. There's the agent who's centric to the relationship with the consumer, lack of understanding for the value that they have of their data asset management, big data, right, their database. All those things that you just referenced has to start somewhere, and that's the data collection itself, right? They're scared. They hear things like AI and big data, and they don't understand that they're the person, right? They're the person to position themselves as the intermediary for the brokerage that they're in alignment with, and that unbelievable relationship, should they choose to maintain it, with the consumer. And what you're referencing is the house, right? So how do we get the agents in this case, right, to understand that using sticky notes, right? Not taking notes, but the importance of strategic tracking of data in a uniform platform is of value to them.
Well, we will assist them to let them know, instead of them putting sticky notes on their whatever, on their computer, we're going to give them notifications and suggestions about how to stay in contact. We'll stay in contact with consumer, with the agent at the forefront during everything. So if work gets done, the agent will be notified. So it gives an agent always the reason to notify the consumer, and then including such as like this happened here, click the button, would you like to communicate with them right now? And make it so it's so easy, and it's integrated into their potential workflow of their brokerage business on maintaining SOI influence. Because what we do know is most homeowners would use their agent again, but agents are notoriously not good about staying in communication. Our platform keeps them in communication at all times and at the forefront. And if an agent maybe adds new vendors or things like that, it's going to notify the consumer that, hey, your agent so-and-so has other potential vendors that they highly recommend based on this. And it's just always staying state of mind and keeping the agent in the forefront, because technology, it's clear there's billions of dollars that have been spent to try to displace the agent. The consumer wants the agent. I believe that the agent of the future is not doing the same job that they're doing now. That's right why I changed all my brokerage names to advisors, because I believe that the agent has to be an advisor and a connector. And they're not really finding the homes. The buyers are going on the internet to find their home. We don't need an agent to open a door and write a contract. If that were the case, then our margin is so small, it's, you know, that's going to really disrupt the whole brokerage revenue model. So the agent has to be more of an advisor or a connector to resources, tools. They have to know more about architecture, you know, ROI. Like there's, I think you're going to find that the agent of the future is going to be more sophisticated, more knowledgeable, and lead. I think the teams are going to be bigger than ever, because they're going to have team resources, and that the monetization of per unit as a percentage will likely go down over time. But that fewer agents will provide a better result. You know, I look at the finance industry and what happened when you can go on and you can make your own trades yourself, right? Doesn't mean it changed that industry, but it made them more as advisors. And they're getting paid when the consumer makes more money. Oftentimes now these brokers make more money. I see that impacting in some ways similarly as it relates to real estate of the future.
Well, I love that mindset because what it brings me back to is agents. What do agents traditionally say they more for the lack of understanding of how to grow their business? I need more leads. And I kind of always say, oh, no, you don't. You need a better job to follow up with the people you already know. So what I'm hearing you say is if we look at our processes from lead generation to follow up to contract to close, right, that middle, that follow-up component is the one that's fumbled the most. So when we partner with our agents from brokerage to agent and they become the advisor, right, and we help them maintain that relationship and grow that, then the lead generation will take care of itself because that'll be reciprocatory, right? They won't have to spend and worry about it. But if the follow-up is locked down, right, that whole idea that what I've always truly believed was a team underneath a well-run oil machine brokerage is stronger in partnership than going out and trying to do it alone. So I hear all that ties together, and I hope they're hearing that as well and how they visualize that the follow-up is really what's probably screwed up the most and has the most impact on their business.
And that's, again, it goes back to my same theory. Like, we know what you need to do, but it's reliant on someone to follow a book, a plan, a model, whatever. And again, utilizing technology, just as it's not replacing what you're supposed to do, it's just enhancing and creating a bit of accountability and telling you, hey, do these 10 things today and your business will be better, right? Like, we're just using the technology to be a great assistant to the agent to make them show up and do a better job, and especially in the follow-up area.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of where I get a lot of the pushback a lot of times, right? Hey, well, the follow-up, if it's too automatized, it doesn't sound like me, it takes me out of it. I'm like, you're right. And you don't look at I go back to the very beginning of this conversation, that the technology is not your replacement. You still have to execute the play, right? Whether it's a phone call, a text message, a card in the mail, there are automation that can happen, and that's a nice, easy touch. But you still have to be that person and maintain that relationship, or you allow yourself to be replaced.
It allows you to do it with speed because you're taking the thinking out of it, and the technology is utilizing to create efficiencies and what should I do today? Who should I be contacting and why? And it just kind of lays it all out and it gives you almost a list of what to do for the day. And then you can hammer out a lot in 45 minutes.
No, we could talk for me. I could keep having this conversation all day because the balancing of tech and relationships are uniform when properly integrated, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I kind of wanted to pivot a little bit, and I wanted to ask you, like, here we are now a couple years post living at home, right? And I still see a lot of challenges for people fooling themselves into thinking that I can work remotely, right? How do you see, and how are things working for your base businesses? Are you seeing those that are more successful that are showing up and going to work, or have people started to kind of get this remote work aspect? How do you see that with tech as leverage?
Number one, I think there is a group of people that operate better from home with like they can actually not get distracted, and other people are completely distracted at home. It depends on the personality, whether the home environment is actually making them better. I think the majority of people will be more effective by getting back into the workplace. And there's real benefits about being around community, especially in a real estate area where off markets or what's happening or bouncing ideas off of people, that's being missed. And that's one of the biggest parts of our industry that makes us really show up to our clients really well is when we know what's going on in the real estate sector around us, because the top agents all know what's kind of going on in certain neighborhoods. And we can work together on that. When you're working from home, no matter how much we try to build community online, it's not the same thing as, you know, of walking by the, you know, the coffee maker and saying, hey, you got anything over in this neighborhood over there? Yeah, I actually have two coming to market, right? So the reality is, like, that's how business is really done. And that's where you become invaluable to your client because they can't get that data anywhere else. They can't go online and find that home that you happen to connect with one of your buddies over a coffee. So
I can't. I think that's an understated fact. And I think of the last transaction that I just did literally was where we wrote an offer for my client. We lost. I bumped into an agent in my office who I knew was in that territory. We got to talking about the property that I lost out on for my consumer. He got it for an investment. We ended up wholesaling it to my client. Win-win for him. And that never comes together if we don't show up together in the office.
Here, let me give you something else about our technology. There's 10 offers on a property. That means there's 9 losers, but those 9 losers are pre-vetted. If we take that information and say, okay, hey, we have this off, we have off-market information about what might be coming to market. And now we have maybe 2 of those 9 people are looking in that neighborhood, are pre-qualified, looking for the same thing. We can now connect those people through their agents to potentially other opportunities through our technology. So no longer are those other 9 potential vetted buyers just thrown out there. We're taking that information and figuring out how do we reconnect to new opportunity, and including if you're writing 10 offers on 10 different properties and you keep losing out, we're going to show you over time how many of those offers and where you came in compared to the closed sale price. So what was the list price? What was the sale price? What was the spread? And where was your offer in there? So that way, when you make your next competitive offer, it's going to help the agents say, look, you've lost out all these times because we've been 9% under every time, or between 7 and 9%. We need to go to here if you really want this property, right? So we're going to use that technology and the data to actually help the agent show their client where they weren't hitting the mark to get the property.
I think throughout this entire podcast, I mean, you look at entrepreneurial impact that people have on the world. And I think, Rick, you stand out as one of the, in my opinion, as a pure entrepreneur, because you're in a local area looking at what the consumer and agents need as a customer and figuring out what the gap is. And in your vision, which I think is awesome because it actually goes into something that most people aren't talking about, which reinforces the Blue Ocean strategy, is what's the solution? Well, the solution is actually create a customer card on the home, which I think is brilliant because everyone's like, how do I teach agents or how do I get more consumers? You're like, no, forget that. I'm not going to get into that fight. I'm going to go into like, how do I create customer cards on a home? Because inevitably, that's what people are trying to actually acquire. And if you have all that data, all that systems built around it to make the home and enrich the home ownership experience for everybody, you're actually redefining an industry. And that's only going to be done by an entrepreneur that's in the weeds, on the ground, actually looking at what consumers want, as opposed to somebody sitting up in an ivory tower that's saying like, well, this logically makes sense, but they're not taking into consideration the behavioral changes and the emotions that goes through a buying and selling of a home. And what happens in an industry when you have that much data on a home, it makes everything else more efficient, like you said, with inspections, with disclosures, and also how to maximize the asset for the homeowner, whether it's the seller or buyer. And I think that's a huge thing around the essence of like what we're trying to do for the future is what is disruptive and what is actually bringing impact to those people on the ground level in the industry as an entrepreneur. And I think it's beautiful, man. Like I give you so much admiration on my end for what you're doing out there and how you're actually trying to make an impact in our industry.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, look, this is, I love this. And I'd love to kind of have you back on again, because we have to break these things up a little bit, but I think there's a lot more to unpack when we start talking about transactional management, technology, and where we can be going. Like I said, we were bedrock not that long ago, and here we are looking at a lot of monumental changes. But again, I'll close it with what you said. They're systematic changes. They're common sense changes, but we have to understand and let go some of the control mechanisms, unifying what we're trying to do to maintain control of our asset, which is our consumer. So Rick, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and I look forward to continuing the conversation.
All right. Take care, everybody.